Hello, and welcome to our program, Excerpts from Time Magazine, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Susan Chambers, and today I will be reading articles from the November 6 issue of Time Magazine, here on OWL Radio. From the Bulletin, bedbugs aren't just a problem for Paris. The news reports are alarming to say the least. Paris, the city known for its style, cuisine, and romance, has a bedbug problem. But what's behind the invasion? How did the insects manage to infiltrate so much of the city? With Paris hosting the first Olympics in the post-COVID-19 era next summer, those questions aren't just matters for idle conversation. Bedbug basics. Bedbugs feed almost exclusively on human blood and find their meals by homing in on the carbon dioxide we exhale. Because they are cautious creatures, they feed when we're asleep or relatively immobile while sitting on a chair or a couch before scurrying back into tiny cracks and crevices in mattresses or between walls and floors. They are remarkably hardy genetically and can inbreed with little, no problem for generations. They are bred to be bad. Today's bedbugs are resistant to nearly every insecticide available. While DDT and organophosphates effectively controlled bedbug populations for decades, after those chemicals were banned for harming human health, the insects developed resistance to remaining pesticides, so that we now have thick-skinned, hard-drinking, mutant bedbugs, says Deanie Miller, a professor for entomology at Virginia Tech. Their thicker exoskeletons keep insecticides out, and they also have enzymes that can break down chemicals even if they do end up absorbing some. The battle plan. Bedbugs persist in any city, including Paris, because getting rid of them is expensive and involved. The best method involves a multi-pronged strategy, including some combination of pesticides, a fungus-based treatment that kills infected bugs, heating an entire dwelling to 125 degrees Fahrenheit or above, or using silica dust to suffocate them. Vacuuming visible bugs is also an important first step. Ultimately, however, leaving it up to individuals to manage them may only keep the bug populations thriving. Unless they are dealt with on a broader society-wide scale, the problem will not go away, says Zachary DeVries, an assistant professor of entomology at the University of Kentucky. There were a couple of notable celebrity deaths during the month of October. One being the Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus, who played for the Chicago Bears in the 60s and the 70s. He was one of the fiercest defensive players in an NFL era that predated concussion protocols. He passed away on October 5th at age 80. Another one was Suzanne Summers, an entrepreneurial actor. Suzanne Summers was never a dumb blonde. Her breakout character, Chrissy Snow, on the ABC sitcom Three's Company, may have been, but Summers herself was an actor, businesswoman, author, and health and wellness spokesperson. She died on October 15th at age 76 after a battle with breast cancer. I've been playing what I think is one of the best dumb blondes that's ever been done, but I never got any credit, she told the New York Times in 1980. I did it so well that everyone thought I really was a dumb blonde. Three's Company ran from 1977 to 1984 and quickly became one of the country's most popular shows. At the start of the show's fifth season, Summers asked for a pay raise from $30,000 to $150,000 per episode to match the salary of her male co-star. ABC would only offer a $5,000 per episode raise, which she declined. The network fired her, and Summers sued for $2 million. She received only a small fraction of what she asked for. Summers made one movie, Nothing Personal, in 1980. And after Company had a string of guest roles and made-for-TV movies before starring in another ABC sitcom, Step by Step. It ran from 1991 to 1998. She would go on to become a health and diet magnate. Many of her more than 25 books touched on wellness culture, though her support for bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and alternative cancer treatments have been criticized by the medical community. Perhaps most memorably, in the early 1990s, she was the spokeswoman in infomercials for the Thighmaster, an exercise product. One more way her enterprising spirit shone through. Here's an article from The Brief Nation about people moving around the nation, actually. Go Midwest, young man. Jake Villa, who has lived everywhere from Fortaleza, Brazil, and Seattle to Sun Valley, Idaho, and Austin, calls Milwaukee the greatest city on earth. And he's serious. When Villa and his wife, Annabelle, planned to relocate from Salt Lake City in 2021, they made an extensive list of cities, and they are grateful that they ended up in Milwaukee instead of other places they considered, like Charlotte, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, or Phoenix, where his parents live. One reason is that Villa says his climate anxiety has been growing while he's lived in the American West, in cities running out of water, and whose air is frequently polluted by wildfire smoke or smog. When an earthquake struck Salt Lake City in March 2020, Villa and his wife, who grew up in Mexico City, decided they'd had enough and embarked on a search for a place to settle where they wouldn't have to worry about water or earthquakes or fires. Milwaukee ranks highly because it's relatively immune to natural disasters. It has access to a huge body of fresh water, Lake Michigan, has affordable houses for sale, and is diverse, which was important to the interracial couple. Now that they've moved, Villa loves not having to worry about running out of water, not having to water his lawn because of Milwaukee's frequent rains, and being able to keep his window open for a good chunk of the year because he doesn't need air conditioning. Villa, who is 39 years old, knows most people still aren't considering the climate when they move. States beset with blistering heat and hurricanes like Arizona and Florida are still gaining population fast. But I can't wrap my head around not considering factors like, is there going to be water to drink in 30 years, he says? Or, what's going to be the average outdoor temperature? Or, is the local government making the changes needed to protect the things needed for human life? For decades, the Midwest has been a region left behind as manufacturing and other jobs dried up. Milwaukee County's population has shrunk 12.3% in the past 50 years. And while Sunbelt states like Florida and Texas grew from 2020 to 2022, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio all lost population, according to the Council of State Governments. Of the 50 zip codes that have seen the largest increase in new residents since 2020, 86% were in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. But some Midwestern leaders see their state's resilience to climate change as a means of reversing this decline. They're putting their immunity from severe weather front and center, investing in making their cities more sustainable, and not shying away from the idea that they can attract new residents like Villa, who are concerned about the climate. As the climate continues to change and people make decisions about where they will move as individuals or where they will relocate or start businesses, folks will consider, do we want to do it in a place that's more likely to see intense hurricanes and storms year over year? A place that has earthquakes constantly? A place where it is unbearable to go outside for weeks or months? Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson says, or do they want to do it in a place that's more insulated from these things, like Milwaukee? Similarly, the Citizens Research Council, a public policy group in Michigan, recently published a report suggesting that climate migrants were one potential solution to the state's declining population. Though Michigan has not historically prioritized its environment, the group argues, instead of putting industry first, focusing on natural resources could attract new residents and investments. Midwestern cities and states that have long seen nothing but people leaving are seizing on the opportunity. Businesses in the Milwaukee region face a low risk of natural disasters, decreasing their risk to people and buildings, brags Choose Milwaukee, a website trying to attract business to the region. Buffalo, New York will be a climate refuge, Buffalo Mayor Brian Brown said in his 2019 State of the City address. The city has since appointed a climate action manager to lessen its carbon footprint. Michigan's economic development website makes no secret that the state is ranked number one best for climate change. Luring people to the Midwest will be a tall order. The region has been losing population for decades for reasons that are not changing overnight, including cold winters, lack of good jobs, and in some states, high taxes. Leaders selling their locations as safe from climate change may not sway many people who are just looking for a warm and affordable place to live. Still, just about every list of the best cities for climate change includes many Midwestern cities. Architectural Digest has Milwaukee and Columbia, Ohio in its top 10. Policy Genius, an insurance platform, has Milwaukee, Columbus, and Minneapolis on its list. The top 10 list put together by Jesse Keenan, a climate adaptation expert at Tulane University, almost exclusively consists of Midwest and Rust Belt cities, including Detroit, Duluth, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and Buffalo and Rochester in New York. Those aren't the only cities that will benefit, Keenan says. Many other places are benefiting from a change in preferences, but in general, people will be moving north and east. Of course, climate change is not the only reason people pick where to live. Job opportunities and affordable housing are often top of the list. Today, many young people are also looking for places that are affordable and that have embraced the kind of urban planning that makes it easy to walk or bike around town, says Keenan. Minneapolis, for instance, has transit-oriented development and mixed-income housing. East Lansing, Michigan, has urban density, which is more climate-friendly than places where you have to get in your car to go anywhere. A lot of these things were done in the name of sustainability and better urban planning and mitigating carbon footprint, but they've also been financially successful in that they attracted new people, he says. For many Midwestern leaders, the chance to reverse population decline is enough to suggest that they need to invest more in sustainability, walkability, and the type of projects that will appeal to people looking to make a change. Milwaukee's Mayor Johnson, for instance, wants to build a protected bike lane network across the city. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has unveiled plans for the state to generate all of its electricity from carbon-free sources by 2035. I don't think we can just say as a state, the South is going to boil and we can just rest and people will come here, says Eric Lufer, president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We have to get the rest of our ducks in a row, so to speak, try to be better at trying to attract more companies. Indeed, for VIA and some other transplants, the fact that some Midwestern local governments appear invested in preparing for climate change is appealing. Milwaukee is trying to remove highways and make its downtown more walkable, while places like Salt Lake City and Phoenix seem to be ignoring the challenges that lie ahead. I was tired of living in places that made sense when there was 100,000 people living there, but that no longer made sense when there were millions of people and nobody talking about it or doing anything about it. Milwaukee has portrayed itself as free from natural disasters like earthquakes and hurricanes, including on a PowerPoint presentation it shows businesses considering relocating there. It used to be that people would laugh when they saw the slide and ask why he didn't include locusts or other biblical plagues. Nobody laughs anymore. And from the health section, the case for anxiety. Anxiety, the very word evokes discomfort. According to the United States Census Bureau, half of young American adults deal with it, so it's no wonder that this epidemic is causing us so much concern. But, as a clinician and researcher, I see a much bigger problem. In our society's quest to be anxiety-free, we tend to miss out on many valuable opportunities presented by this normal human emotion. In and of itself, anxiety is not deadly. Quite the contrary, being able to feel anxious shows that our fight or flight system is operational, which is an indicator of brain and sensory health. Once we accept that anxious arousal is a normal, albeit uncomfortable, part of life, we can use it to thrive. Here are three ways anxiety can help you. It can build your emotional strength and resilience. If you want to build emotional strength and resilience, you need to face some degree of mental adversity. Of course, traumatic events and abuse tend to cause more harm than good, but the experience of and perseverance through occasional anxiety, stress, and tension substantially increases your emotional fortitude. For example, one of the most effective treatments for anxiety is exposure therapy, which involves systematically confronting one's fears head-on in reasonable and increasing doses over time. With the help of a therapist, individuals with phobias to anything from snakes or spiders to heights or medical procedures gradually encounter that which makes them anxious. As they exercise their emotional strength voluntarily and courageously, they become desensitized to their anxiety and its effects decrease. In my clinical practice, I have treated hundreds of patients with exposure therapy, and in many instances, individuals emerge not only less phobically anxious, but also with greater resilience in general. In one particularly memorable case, I helped a young woman overcome a severe case of hypochondriasis, anxiety fixed on her health, with this method. Years later, when her newborn child had a serious health complication requiring life-saving surgery, she handled the situation with incredible fortitude and calm. It can increase your emotional intimacy and connection. Humans are social creatures. The number one predictor of happiness and flourishing in late life is not great genes, financial success, or fame. It's the quality of our relationships. Clinical science has identified that sharing our anxieties with our loved ones is one of the most effective strategies to build connection. When my patients learn to open up and share their anxieties with their partners, they almost always report a greater sense of emotional intimacy. Even in the most secure relationships, we naturally feel some anxiety sometimes about whether the love we receive is truly unconditional. As relation expert Sue Johnson teaches, when we embrace and express our need for connection during challenging moments, such as, "I'm having a hard time right now and could really use your support," it begets greater connection and turns our anxiety into love. It can help you recalibrate and rebalance. From time to time, all of us find ourselves at the end of our rope. Our responsibilities pile up, our resources break down, and we just don't have enough time to get everything done. We feel uncomfortably anxious most, if not all, of the time. Many times when my patients are overwhelmed, they tend to take on more demands. Ironically, they take on additional projects at work, volunteer for community service, and provide additional support to their friends. It's easier to avoid thinking about how overwhelmed we feel and pretend that everything is okay when we're focused on work. But working harder, faster, and longer hours when one is already ragged can create chronic stress, which has been associated with heart disease, cancer, and stroke, as well as numerous less severe medical conditions. When we feel genuinely overwhelmed and anxious because of stress, It's our body's way of telling us to recalibrate and rebalance. Nobody is truly limitless. When we heed our internal cues and acknowledge our fallibility, we emerge more focused and healthier overall, and also less stressed and anxious. Anxiety can be a healthy, helpful emotion that is a constructive aspect of human life. It can foster emotional connection when we convey our vulnerable feelings to others. And in the form of stress, it can serve as an internal barometer to remain balanced and healthy. It's about time we start putting it to good use. The author of this article, David Rosmarine, is a professor at Harvard Medical School and author of Thriving with Anxiety, 9 Tools to Make Your Anxiety Work for You. Health Matters by Jamie Ducharme. And speaking of COVID-19, after more than 3 years of covering COVID-19, I've essentially become a human search engine for friends and family who have questions about the virus. And during this ongoing wave of infections, I've been struck by how many people are still wondering if, and for how long, they need to isolate if they get sick. In fact, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's, the CDC policy, hasn't substantively changed since late 2021. Its guidance still says that anyone who tests positive for COVID-19 should isolate themselves from others, including those in their household, for at least 5 full days. During that period, the sick person should skip in-person school or work, avoid other public places, and if possible, stay away from others at home. If that's not an option, the CDC suggests wearing a high-quality mask, such as an N95 or KN95, when around others. After their 5 days of isolation are up, the CDC recommends that the person with COVID-19 wear a mask for an additional 5 days if they have to be around other people indoors. That's because studies show many people remain contagious for longer than 5 days. COVID is not the flu, says Caitlin Jedalina, an epidemiologist who regularly interprets COVID-19 research in her popular newsletter. We remain far more contagious for longer with COVID. How do you know if you're still contagious? Alyssa Belinsky, an assistant professor of health policy at the Brown University School of Public Health, says, "At-home tests are often more useful indicators than simply counting the number of days you've stayed home. Studies suggest that at-home test results correlate pretty closely with contagiousness, so a positive result means you could infect others, and a negative result means you likely won't." False negatives are possible, though, so Jenna Leder recommends testing multiple times if you can. The CDC considers a pair of negative results received 48 hours apart the sign that you can remove your mask, even if it hasn't been a full 10 days since you got sick. It's wise to keep that guidance in mind as we head into winter illness season. This issue also covers some of the top inventions of 2023. So let's go in and let's explore some of them. For the outdoors, they call Trunk Show, E-Plant Tree Tag. After wildfires ripped through Maui in August, staff at E-Plant set up 15 of their tree tags on the Lahaina region's largest banyan tree, which had been damaged, to help arborists understand how to help it recover. The tree tag sticks into the trunk, combining sensors and AI to measure growth, keep track of water and light inputs, monitors carbon capture, and it stores the data in the cloud. Trees have their own unique way of communicating, and our sensors are like their translators, co-founder and CEO Graham Hine says. Anyone with trees in their yard will find the information helpful in keeping them healthy. Accessibility. Playing with Braille. Lego Braille Bricks. Once available only through schools and other educational institutions, Lego Braille bricks, which teach visually impaired children necessary tactile skills, are finally coming to consumer homes. The set, currently available in English and French, with more languages on the way, takes the classic 2x4 building brick and modifies its knobs to correspond with the Braille alphabet, numbers, and symbols. The pieces are compatible with all Lego products. We develop these for everyone, so even sighted children and family members can show their interest in learning Braille, says Rasmus Lockstrup Jensen. He's Lego's creative lead on partnerships and innovation. There are some quick notes about healthcare at home. About 71% of people think often about their physical health, according to a 2023 Ipsos survey, and that's likely an understatement. It's no wonder, then, that many inventions aim to give users more control over their well-being. Having accurate data goes a long way in staying healthy. The Coros heart rate monitor straps to the upper arm and measures heart rate more accurately than wrist monitors, and the Lumen is a home breathalyzer that tracks metabolism in real time. Some products speed up muscle recovery. The Therabody Recovery Them Cube relieves soreness via infrared and cryotherapy, while the Lumaflex Body Pro is an FDA-cleared red light therapy device for pain relief at home. Other innovations aim to improve quality of life. The Salus Stick saliva pregnancy test liberates people from the urine test, while the Vibrant System, a vibrating capsule, relieves constipation without medication. And the CanGo smart walking cane promotes independence with tools like fall detection and emergency calling. And in the experimental phase, a better prosthetic from Utah Bionic Leg. Science fiction is filled with high-tech prosthetics, but according to Tommaso Lenzi, an assistant professor at the University of Utah, real prosthetic legs for lower limb amputees have been stuck in the 1990s. Enter a new bionic leg created by Lenzi and his team, capable of movement that's much more closer to that of a natural leg and knee, making it easier to move around, including on stairs. The leg still needs more testing and FDA approval, but the team has partnered with prosthetics leader Ottobock to help bring it to the public. Testers have been excited to walk up steps for the first time in years, says Lindsay. Hopefully we can have more people walking and get them out of a wheelchair, he says. And for cleaner water in the household by LifeStraw Max. More than a million people die each year from unsafe drinking water, often in conflict zones or after natural disasters. To address this, LifeStraw invented a solution that strips water of bacteria, parasites, and viruses at scale. Its compact 16-pound system attaches to an existing water supply, cleaning 40 gallons of water an hour using hollow fiber filters that block anything larger than 20 nanometers from passing through. We wanted something that could work both at a refugee camp level, but also where you have flooding and wildfires, says Chief Brand Officer Tara Lundy. You have been listening to excerpts from Time Magazine on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you.